Thank you. Thank you so much for your welcome. A little disappointed you didn't sterilize the microphone before you gave it to me. But only kidding. I'd heard as a church you'd become a bit spaced out. It's true. Well, I don't have a lot of time. Obviously, we have to be a little more compact these days with everything we do. That's not always a bad thing. You know, the old adage for preachers was a bit like drilling oil. If you don't strike oil within 10 minutes, quit boring. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We must pay more careful attention to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. For a good number of years, many years, I owned a boat, 18-foot half cabin, and loved it. Absolutely loved it. Did a lot of fishing and had a good-sized motor on the back. We used to be able to go skiing and a lot of things. But one of the things I learned was the importance of anchoring well. The importance of anchoring well. Because if you don't anchor up properly, if you don't anchor properly, it is very, very easy to drift. Very easy to drift. And I could cite a number of incidents, none of which were my fault, of course, but a number of incidents. I'll tell you one that wasn't my fault. So it actually wasn't on our boat. We had hired a houseboat, my wife and I. This is about 15 years ago, and we were anchored. We were having a week off, and we were anchored off Tipplers, off South Stradbroke Island, and it was a Saturday night, and it was lovely. But about 8 o'clock, this large party boat, about a 60-footer, turned up and anchored about 50 metres from us. And, of course, it was doof, doof, boom, boom, doof, doof. It was just going crazy and nice quiet night on the water. And, you know, shut everything and we were trying to watch TV. It was just so loud. But I noticed after a while it seemed to even get louder. And so I just walked out onto the deck. And this thing is now about 20 metres away, 25 metres away. And I'm immediately concerned that and then I realised, no, actually, the tide's going that way. They're drifting. That boat was drifting. About the time, I was about to up anchor and move because there was no way to, like, so much noise going on that boat. You couldn't hear, you could wave. They just think that you're trying to enjoy the party with them. So I was about to up anchor when suddenly someone there realised that they had a problem and they up anchored and, praise God, they actually left. So it was an answer to prayer. That and the throwing the rocks onto the deck of the boat probably helped. No, I didn't do that. But that could have been catastrophic because they drifted without realizing. And of course, when the weather is rough or when it's dark, if you've ever been on a boat when it's rough or when it's dark at night, it's really easy to drift and not even realize you've drifted, and the consequences can be disastrous. And one of the keys to checking that you're not drifting is to have some fixed reference points and align yourself up and keep in alignment with those fixed reference points. And that's not like, oh, listen, there's a cloud there and it's right there. No, it's something that is fixed. Some people actually live their lives like that. They line their lives up with something that's just a cloud. And then the cloud keeps moving. It's like our culture, and the world in which we live. And it's constantly moving. And then you wonder why you're drifting and you're at the mercy of the tide and the current of culture. So about 6 weeks ago, I realized that there's an area in my heart and life where I had drifted just over a few weeks. And I realized that in that area of my life, the fruit of Jesus was not, and his spirit in me was not so evident. It was an area of my attitude. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. How many of you have ever had to adjust your attitude? Okay. The rest of you have no self-awareness. Okay. When we talk about being in a dark and stormy weather, I think it'd be fair to say that currently our country, the world, globally, we are in rough and stormy weather. It's a dark time. It's just crazy. Who would ever have believed 6 months ago, Ben and I were chatting before the service, somebody had said 12 months ago this would be the case. You go, you're nuts. But the world has changed, and there is no question that this global pandemic, COVID-19, and the subsequent impact has exposed really how fragile and how vulnerable the social and economic support structures that underline so much of our daily lives truly, truly are. It's without question that this has been the most disruptive, challenging, and unsettling event in the experience of any living generation. Of course, it's affected everyone differently. I've been blessed and it hasn't had massive impact on me. There's others less impacted. But for some people, it's been devastating. And we see increasingly, and even now with the upsurge of recent days, businesses, livelihoods, so many things, people's lives. But it seems like over the last while, we've been confronting one challenge after another. In our own country alone, we had droughts, we had bushfires, we had floods, and then COVID. Been a fun season, fun time. And even to those of us who are people of faith, sometimes you can't help but ask the question, God, what are you doing in the middle of all this? There are some Christians I've spoken to that are almost feeling a bit overwhelmed by what's going on. And the world has changed. The world, in some respects, seems to have gone crazy. Challenge after challenge, crisis after crisis. And then if it's not challenging enough, there are those who opportunistically seize upon these moments to promote anarchy and violence and chaos. And we see so much divisiveness in the world. It's almost so much emotive argument and opinion that is often not based on fact or truth. And we could talk about the role of social media in that with so much, it's opinion. So much of it is unfounded, unbased, but it's emotive opinion. And we recognize that in the middle of all this, we as believers are bombarded too with images, as is everybody else, with images and thoughts and opinions and positions, and it's so easy to become caught up in the tide. So easy to become caught up in the wash and the currents that are flowing all around us. And it's easy to drift in certain areas if you're not careful. And I think even believers are trying to work out, God, where are you in the middle of all this? This chaos. And maybe even in the middle of my own apprehension or uncertainty or fear or my own pain or whatever it might be. And can I say that more than ever in this season, we need to be anchored well. More than ever, we need to be anchored well. John chapter 14, Jesus talks about abiding in the vine. I'm not going to take time to read that passage, but I'm going to read another passage in a moment this morning. I want to look at a passage from Ephesians chapter 2. How many of you know it's always important to get a biblical framework for our thinking? We talk about fixed reference points. And I want to just touch on one area. There are so many areas in which we can drift. There are so many areas in which we need to make sure we're anchored up properly. But I want us to see something this morning in these few minutes of what I think God wants to do in the middle of all this, and not just in the big picture, but in the personal environment of our own hearts and lives. Let me just read Ephesians 2, 13 to 22. Listen to these verses. I want you to listen. Ephesians 2, 13 to 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. How good is that? For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man, one new people, one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitly joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So these verses very clearly tell us what God's purpose is. In verses 15 and 16, it says, his purpose, that's literally what it said, his purpose was to create in himself one new man, one new people, one new humanity out of the two. And I'll talk about that in a moment, thus making peace. And to reconcile everybody to God through the cross, by which it says he put to death their hostility. That's what it says God's purpose is. How many of you know God always has a purpose? God never gets up and goes, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming, what will I do? God always has a purpose. So when Paul is talking in Ephesians here about the two, making them one, he, of course, is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles back in that time, that era. But I want to suggest to you that you could apply that same truth of the purpose of Christ coming and what God wanted to do to any groups, any culture, any division on the planet, any groups in the world. He says he's going to take us and them. How often, how easy it is to be an us and them. We often think in that terminology, us and them. And what God says he's going to do is he's going to take the us and the them, who we are and whoever they are, and he's going to break down the conflict, the hostility, and make us one new humanity. Wow, that's a big goal. At present, it's almost like the pause button's been hit in some ways, on our crazy world. We're like in this twilight moment. It's like bizarre. But in the midst of all that's going on, it's so easy to choose a polar extreme, be it on political issues or social issues, or and if you're not for me, you're against me. If you don't agree with me, and we see this voiced time and again in our own culture and the world at large. And what we can know is that any moment in history where we are polarized, where we are divided, where there's conflict and hostility, what God is wanting to do is to take all the brokenness of humanity, all the fragmentation, the division, the hostility, and God wants to create one new humanity with peace. And verse 13 actually tells us how he's doing it, the strategy. Now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You can know that whatever's going on in the world, God is wanting to bring you closer. God's wanting to bring you nearer. And we are being brought near, whether, as Ephesians says, whether we were far away or whether we're close. God is trying to get your attention even in this season and pull you close to him. I think he wants us to see, and it's becoming so evident, that we cannot solve the human problem without him. The truth is we've got decades, we have centuries of human history to show that. And this is a time to move in the direction of God. This is a time to be drawn closer to him. This is a time to move nearer to him. This is not a time to drift. This is time to make sure we anchor our lives. And what God does in the midst of all this chaos that's happening in the world around us is, I think, he peels away the facade that everything's okay. I mean, I love our Aussie kind of attitude that, yeah, it should be right, mate. And there's a lot of good in that, but sometimes it's not always right, and sometimes that can be just a facade. And I think what's happening in this current season, it's helping us realize afresh that we desperately need someone to change the core of the human condition. And what God, can I say, is trying to do is not just trying to draw us near to himself, but he's also trying to draw us near to one another. He's wanting us to be drawn nearer to each other. Listen to this. You who were once away and you who were once near are being brought together by the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. So this is the moment to allow yourself to be pulled in the direction of God. And here's an amazing and challenging truth. That when you move in the direction of God, you always move in the direction of people. You cannot move close to Jesus and move against humanity. That's challenging. See, in fact, Jesus tells us that the proof of discipleship, the proof of being a follower of his, is not that you love those who love you. It's not just that you love your friends. I mean, even that's challenging sometimes. But the truth, or the proof of a true disciple, is not that you love your friends and those who love you, but that you love your enemies. Those that stand on the other side, whatever that might be. Those who take an opposing view. And this was where I was personally challenged in my attitude, and I realized I'd drifted from the mind of Christ about 6 weeks ago. Some stuff happened in our country and around the world that really, and I was angry about some things. I'm not an angry person. But I was really, really annoyed about some of the stuff that was going on. I wrote a commentary in The Australian which got a lot of positive feedback, and I don't resile from what I wrote. I think I shared it with you, didn't I? Did I share that with you, Jed? I don't know. No, it didn't register anyway. It wasn't very important. But it got a lot of feedback, supportive feedback, of what I wrote. And I still actually hold to that. I would write it again because I believe my opinion was right. We all know our opinion's right, hey, yeah. But here was what I was challenged about. Whilst what I wrote was true, I discovered that my attitude towards those whom I was not happy with had drifted from being, it's okay to take a stand, by the way. It's even okay to be angry about stuff. And we need to take a stand. But when our attitude towards those people who are on the other side, be it some political issue, some social issue, doesn't matter what it is, it might be in the workplace. When our attitude becomes less than that of Christ, then we have a challenge. Because you can't draw nearer to God and move against humanity. And I realized that my heart attitude was being infected by the spirit of the world. It just crossed a line. I had drifted. The tide of circumstances and opinion and emotion and I needed to discover, rediscover some fixed reference points. Oh, and when I did, I got to tell you, if you've ever been on a boat, if you've done boating, you know that when you do have an anchor, sometimes the boat will move. But if the anchor's solid, and particularly if there's a bit of wind or current, that every now and again the boat will like jerk because it's moved, and suddenly the anchor's pulled it up sharp. And that's how I felt. It's like I felt like God just went, "Oh, Jesus, that's not fair. I've been a Christian a long time. I'm a pastor. We don't have issues to be dealt with." But my attitude stunk. And I was challenged in that moment to make sure I anchored up to the fixed reference points of the Word of God. I needed to move back again to the rock that is higher than I. And I want to encourage you this morning that even in the midst of the turmoil and the currents and all that's going on and the darkness and the uncertainty, the stormy weather, this is a time to anchor up. Anchor your soul to the rock of ages. Come back to the rock. Anchor your thinking. Anchor your attitude. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Oh, if only he'd made it so much easier. If only he'd made it like, Jesus, could you just water that down? Like, that's a really good motherhood statement, you know, apple pie motherhood about love your enemies. But really, it's, you know, that's just kind of one of those idealistic... No, apparently not. Apparently he actually wants us to live that. Who would have thought? And so God is wanting to, even in the midst of stuff that's going on, God's wanting to deal with our hearts, and God wants to bring us together and to bring people together. He himself is our peace, who has made the 2-1, the 3-1, the 10-1. That doesn't matter. Destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility. God works to break down barriers and destroy hostility. Oh, how good are we at building barriers? How many of you have ever put up a wall? I don't mean a physical one. Well, maybe you've done that too, but we create barriers. And I think the challenge is for us to stop looking at everything that divides us and look at what unites us. You know, I've had the privilege for the last decade to sit at the heads of churches table in our city in Brisbane. And we meet every 2 months. And we've been doing that for years, and some guys have come and gone. But during this last season, particularly during this COVID season, and there were some issues before that, but it has really united us. And we realize that whatever the name tag or the denomination or the movement, there's far more that unites us than divides us. And many of us have become good friends. Now, being united in peace doesn't mean we're like clones. Doesn't mean God's not into standardization. Like, you've only got to look around. Everybody is different. I'm so glad. Can you imagine? Oh, he's my friend, so I'll pick up. Could you imagine if we all look like Pastor Jed? Now, he's a good-looking man. But life would be no disrespect, Pastor Jared. But like if I was looking out at a room full of Jeds this morning, all wearing the same thing, all look the same, man, God is into diversity. God is into creativity. I mean, when he created flowers, like he could have just gone with rose. Rose is a beautiful flower. But even with roses, he didn't just stop at one. There's many different perfumes and different colors and shapes, and then there's just a multitude of different varieties of flowers and fragrances, and we all like different fragrances and aromas. How many of you love the aroma of fresh coffee? Oh yeah. Or freshly baked bread. Oh, yeah, just when you're hungry, some of those things. Can you imagine if God only made one aroma, one fragrance, cardboard? Whatever, I don't know. Could you imagine with flavors? If, you know, God only made one flavor and everything tasted like broccoli. That'll divide the men from the boys. No, God made us to enjoy variety. And it's a great thing that we're all different. So, as I close this morning, I just want to say, I think this COVID crisis has given so many people, both within and outside of the community of faith, pause for thought around personal priorities, around the things that matter in life, the things that are of true value. Church has changed. Church moved online, and now we're back. But who knows yet kind of where this is all going to land? I think, and without taking time now to go into why, but people have become aware that there's been increased engagement in different ways from people outside of church through online and various other things, because I think people are increasingly aware of the fragility and the vulnerability of life can change in a moment. And there's a desire to find that which is meaningful, and as such, people might not recognize it, but there's a spiritual hunger. People are talking about changes of lifestyle, and as things return back to normal, whatever that might be. But here's the thing. God's always working with intention in your life and my life. And this season presents an opportunity to reflect, to reset, to recalibrate, to reinvent. It's a time to carefully and thoughtfully examine our lives, determine what matters, to make sure our lives and our hearts are aligned with God's purpose, to show His love, His compassion, even in the midst of our own challenges. It's a time to check whether we have drifted, make sure you haven't drifted, and to fix our position against the Word of God, against Jesus. And if we need to, if we've drifted, move back and anchor up and check your position this morning. Make sure, as he said in John chapter 14, that you're abiding in him. Finally, let me just make this comment. Sometimes I think we're waiting for God to send the right people to sort out the world. But I want to suggest to you this morning that maybe we are the people we've been waiting for. I know in coming weeks, Pastor Jed's going to talk about mission, I think, aren't you? Is that the plan? Oh, you've been doing, yeah. Mission, okay. Being missional. And maybe we are the people we've been waiting for. We can't necessarily change the world, but we can change our world, and we can change those that God puts in our world. God bless you. Thanks so much for the privilege. Amen.